everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title will explain everything for you. It is a podcast, and I talk about animation, specifically the latest news that happened this week. So, for today's episode, we are going to start things off by celebrating 10 years of Laika. Then we will look into our first look and the first ever teaser trailer of Storks. Then afterwards, we will congratulate the three animated projects that have now been put into the National Film Registry. Then afterwards, we will talk about another trailer, this time for Pokemon the movie X, Y, and Z 2016. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you guys want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. So, for the first thing that we are going to talk about is regarding Laika. Now, recently, Laika has put out a brand new video that is pretty much honoring 10 years of their studio and pretty much like how they're growing in the industry with the help of their magical stop-motion animated features and the countless amounts of commercials that they have done that you guys might not be aware of what they've done. So, just to give you a little bit of context about Laika, now if you're not really familiar, they actually started out all the way back in 2005. Originally, it was Will Wheaton's studio, but because when Will Wheaton was working on it and it went a little too big and like he couldn't handle the finances and stuff like that, it had to be taken over by Nike owner Phil Knight, and then it was left in charge by his son, Travis Knight, who originally wanted to be a rapper, but then, later on, he discovered that he has such an amazing talent for animation, and he really used it to good use. So, they've been doing a lot of commercials, but you might know them more for their movies. And so far, they've only made 4, and one of which is currently in production, but they're pretty big, I will admit. The first one they have done is Henry Selick's Coraline, which a lot of people may argue could be one of the best stop-motion animated features out there, next to, like, The Nightmare Before Christmas and Fantastic Mr. Fox. And then afterwards, they decided to go and release Paranorman, which I gotta admit, the craftsmanship in the animation is just wonderful. And then last year in 2014, they have released The Box Trolls, which may not be their best work, but it definitely is creative. I will give it that. And then, just last week, I talked about a brand new trailer that they've released of Kubo and the Two Strings. And this one, it's going to be the directorial debut of the CEO and the man who is in charge of Laika, Travis Knight. In fact, they have actually released a brand new video that's pretty much honoring all the talented people that are at Laika and all the technical advancements that they have done. And what's really interesting about the video that they released, not only is it all about Laika, but they even shown a lot of new footage for Kubo and the Two Strings. And let me tell you, it's going to be a lot more interesting and a lot more creative than I would ever expect. Maybe it's not going to be the most successful movie of 2016. Maybe it's not going to really attract a lot of audiences. Well, considering that it is a stop-motion film, and unfortunately, they don't really make that much money. They only make around, like, what, $100 million each at the box office. But that's okay, considering that normally, making a stop-motion animated feature is a lot cheaper than, like, a computer animated film made by, like, DreamWorks or Disney or Pixar. So it's a lot cheaper. So at least they can make some profit. With Kubo, it's going to be a lot more fascinating, a lot more imaginative, and a lot more creative. This could even top Paranorman and the Box Trolls, and maybe it could be up on par with Coraline. I don't know if this is just, like, building it up for myself, but I really am excited to see what they got with this. This looks amazing, and I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to do with it. And as for Laika itself, like, considering that they went through 10 years of like these stop motion animated films. They may not have made a lot, but it's really great to see someone bringing this lost medium to life. In fact, like, stop motion could be one of the most overlooked mediums out there. I remember I went and did an entire animation look back, like my documentary series that is devoted all to stop motion animated features. Even like back when it was used as special effects for movies like King Kong and the Ray Harryhausen films. These are just phenomenal, I must say. And especially with Coraline, they really bring in this new level of artistry that not even computer animation can handle. It's just really fascinating, I must say. It's really amazing. And there are even some studios that, like, and like, we're even starting to see some movies that want to be stop motion. Like, they're a little shy to actually do stop motion, but they want to try to do that. Case in point, the Lego Movie, despite being a computer animated film, it does try its best to look like a stop motion film, like a fan-made Lego Movie. And I do have to give Phil Lord and Chris Miller some credit for that. But with Laika, they definitely are the American Aardman. They really do push stop motion animation to a brand new level, and at least they keep the spirit of it alive, and it's always great to see that. So with that said, I am fully excited to see what they're going on with Kubo and the Two Strings, and I am highly excited to see what Travis Knight has in store, and I want to congratulate him and all the animators out there for their incredible work at Laika. And I gotta say cheers to you for 10 years, and hopefully we'll see another 10 years of great animated features. Now, our next story, I'm going to be honest, I'm a little iffy with this one. It's just a teaser trailer, but it doesn't really explain a lot. But that is the point, but I just honestly don't know. And this is regarding Storks. Now, after the massive success that Warner Brothers have with the Lego Movie, now they're going to move on to another animated feature. Now, like, they're really going to be more concrete in the field of animation. So this is going to be Warner Brothers' big comeback in animation. Maybe, like, it could be almost on par, like, since the golden age of cartoons with the Looney Tunes. You never know. But, yeah, so right now they got Storks. Now, Storks is going to be a movie that's going to be released next year, and it's all about the origins of the stork. So we have heard of the story of, like, you know, where do babies come from? Well, the stork comes in and, like, he carries a baby and he delivers it Santa style to a home. So that's basically the whole point. And it does include an all-star cast that involves Andy Samberg, Keegan-Michael Ray, Jordan Peele, and, of course, Kelsey Grammer, who does the voice of, like, the stork that's in charge, that is in the teaser trailer. And also worth mentioning that, wait, I just want to check, does it say who are the direct? Oh, yeah, okay. So we do have a director here, which is, oh, no. We got two directors here, which is Nick Stoller and Doug Sweetland, which Nick Stoller also wrote. And we also got Phil Lord and Chris Miller being the executive producers with Glenn Ficarra, John Requa, and Jared Stern. Now, from what I've seen with the trailer itself, as I said before, I feel a little bit iffy about it. I want to see a full trailer to get a good idea of what the movie will be about. But from what I've seen, it looks like it could be like your typical computer animated film that is a bit cartoony. Not overbearingly cartoony to the point that's unwatchable like the Sony animated films, but I mean cartoony in the same styles of Despicable Me, Madagascar, and even the upcoming Angry Birds movie. In fact, oh my god, I just realized right now, like, there's going to be a lot of comparisons with Storks and the Angry Birds movie, considering they're both films that prominently feature birds. Like, this is going to be, like, the same competitive animated features in the same style of, like, Despicable Me and Megamind or Madagascar and the Wild. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be doing that. But from what I've seen, it looks like it's going to be, like, your typical animated comedy, and I don't know if I'm fully sold. I want to know more about the story, and I want to know more about the characters. Like from what I've seen with the animation, it's rather simple, but it's fine, I guess. Like, it's not, I got nothing to complain, but I don't know. I'm just worried if it's not really going to stand out from the rest, and it's just going to be passed off as a kid's flick. I don't know. Maybe it's not going to be as, hyped up like the Lego movie, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. All I ask is just we need more of a full trailer for Storks in order for me to, fully feel comfortable and get a better idea of what Storks is about, because this, I don't know. It looks like it might disappear. It might blend in with the rest of the animated comedies. But we'll just have to wait and see when the movie will actually be released on September 23rd, 2016. Now, our next story, we're going to talk about one of the biggest honors you can ever have as a film, even more than any award you can ever think of. And that is to be a part of the National Film Registry. This is something that the Library of Congress does every year, and every time they would go and pick 25 films, rather they be shorts or rather they be movies, and they would put it into to the National Film Board Registry under the National Film Preservation Act. So last year, they actually brought up some incredible works of animation that honestly, it just leaves me shocked that honestly, I feel just shocked that they didn't do this before. I just feel it's long overdue. These include Chuck Jones' What's Opera Doc, the ever wonderful Disney's Fantasia, Winsor McCay's Gertie the Dinosaur, along with UPA's Gerald McBoing and Tex Avery's Magical Maestro. These are just phenomenal works of animation. This should have been in the National Film Registry long before. But I will say, now, for this year, for 2015, they actually put in a lot of them, and we do have some familiar names, including Top Gun, we got Ghostbusters, we got Shawshank Redemption, we got those. But for animation, we got three honorees that actually managed to put in, two of which are interesting discoveries, and one, last year's What's Opera Doc and Fantasia, I'm just shocked they didn't do this before. Now, the first one that I want to talk about, the first one that actually got in is George Pal's Puppetoons, John Henry and the Inky Poo. Now, this one has a lot of historical importance in this one. This is, this is believed to be one of the first, one of the first cartoons in which it shows a more positive light towards African Americans. Now, with George Pal, he hasn't been good with black people, to be honest. Beforehand, he has a series of cartoons called Jasper, and this is very stereotypically black. I mean, total blackface, romantically in love with watermelon and fried chicken and all that stuff. I'm not 100% sure about the fried chicken part, but definitely with watermelon. I even saw, I think there was a book or something. It's called Jasper and the Watermelon. But anyways, yeah. So, George Pal has often been in trouble with that. So, he decided, instead of, encouraging the stereotypes, he decided to, treasure the moment of being an African American. And he decided to make a short called John Henry and the Inky Poo. And I know it sounds really stupid, the Inky Poo, but this is actually based on the African-American folklore of John Henry, a man who pretty much, by hand, would go and work on train tracks. And there was one day he decided to battle against this machine called the Inky Poo that pretty much would do his job for him. And he ended up, working so hard with his hammer that he ended up winning, but unfortunately passed away, on doing it. It took too much of his energy. And thus, he became, it just became this ultimate story of man versus machine. And George Pal decided to make, to adapt that story into a more, you know, into a stop motion cartoon. And with that, he has received high praise even to the African-American community. Now, with that said, the next story is going to be regarding one of the most popular educational films that Disney has ever done, and it has helped millions of schoolgirls and teenagers from all around the world during the 40s and 50s, and that is Walt Disney's Story of Menstruation. Yes, some often considered as a long rumor, but Walt Disney actually made a very accurate story, well, not really an accurate story, but an educational video about, like, what girls had to go through during menstruation. Now, this isn't necessarily a cartoon. This is more of an instructional thing. I'm going to be honest, for me personally, it just feels a bit boring. It's not... There's nothing too exciting. Don't come in and think that this is going to be like a Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck cartoon. This is about freaking menstruation. So, oh good God. Now is not the time to make gags. And I don't know. Okay, maybe this might sound terrible, but it's very similar to like when a woman is on a period. Do not make any jokes whatsoever. You will understand the wrath. But yeah, anyways, the story of the story of menstruation helped millions of girls around the world to understand about menstruation, and it was even sponsored by Kimberly-Clark, which is the makers of Kotex. So this is pretty much the reason why it has a bit of a historical significance, because of the way that it helped all these girls to deal with their what's going on. I don't want to go into details. It's a scary place. Okay, but anyways, finally, this one makes me a little bit mad because I do not understand how they have not put this before. This year, the National Film Registry decided to added The Old Mill onto their collection. Why didn't they do this before? Now, for those of you who don't know, The Old Mill is a 1937 Walt Disney cartoon that really pushed animation to a whole new level. They decided to test out a lot of things with this, rather it be with, like, mechanical animation to see a bit of the mechanics of this old mill, some like beautiful realistic paintings, the first time ever that they would ever use the multiplane camera, and animation depicting realistic animals, like not big ones, but small realistic woodland creatures like squirrels and chipmunks and owls and deers and stuff like that. This is pretty much the cartoon that pretty much really amazed all the animators at Disney, and it was proven as the successful testing ground for the technology of what they can do for the films they will make for years to come, including Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, Bambi, and so much more. And it's definitely great to see that they would finally put in The Old Mill. Well, frustrating at the same time, because, like, why didn't you do this earlier? But it's definitely phenomenal. If you're an animation fan and you have not seen The Old Mill, please do yourself a favor and do so. I mean, it's one of the most important Silly Symphony cartoons that they have ever done, and one of the most important cartoons ever done for animation. So with that said, I want to congratulate all three of these cartoons that have been added, as the National Film Board Registry said, for their culturally, historically, and aesthetically significance onto the world and into their medium and to filmmaking in general. So with that said, hopefully we'll see many more great cartoons and movies added when it will be honored next year. So I can't wait. Now our next story is going to be about Pokemon. And as you guys probably know, every year, Pokemon would release a movie that always features at least one of their major legendary Pokemon. It is a moment that would be so big that it cannot do justice if Ash and the gang would meet them in just a Pokemon episode and then that's it. No, they need their own feature film, and that's what they do every year. So for 2016, they are going to do something that's called Pokemon the Movie XY and Z 2016. Yeah, sorry for the weird introduction there. That's actually how the trailer did it. That's pretty much what the title is now, at least in Japan. I'm sure there's a bit more of an explanation. Now, as a Pokemon fan, I do understand a little bit of what's going on. I don't really have much of a story to explain what is going on, but for the Pokemon that will be featured, the first one that they have ever introduced is going to be regarding Zygarde. Now, for Pokemon X and Y, the big ones, like, who are prominently featured in the covers are Xerneas and Yveltal, which is this giant, magnificent deer that looks a bit like the Great Prince from Bambi, or, I suddenly forgot, that spirit in Princess Mononoke, the spirit god. I don't know, I forgot his name, I feel stupid about it, I apologize. But yeah, that's pretty much Xerneas, and Yveltal is this giant, it's part dragon, part bird. That's the best way to describe him. And funny enough, if you look at his shiny form, he looks like bacon. That's pretty much it. But yeah, Xerneas is pretty much the third legendary Pokemon that is prominently featured. And it's interesting how he has a bit of a theme of pixels in a way. I don't know how to describe it, but he pretty much has this hexagon panel, and through the movie, it's shown that he could be transformed in many different forms. We only know the form that he looks like the letter Z, but then there is an ultimate form that we don't know about. Now, in the new trailer, however, we are introduced to a brand new legendary Pokemon. Now, beforehand, we know about the legendary Pokemons like Deonsi, which is a diamond Pokemon, and then Hoopa, which is more a mischievous Pokemon that's all about rings and transporting people through them. Like, the best way to describe him, he's more of a portal Pokemon. And now we got Volcanion, which is a fire and water type Pokemon that's all about steam. And that's what this Pokemon is all about. And now he is making his grand introduction into Pokemon X, Y, and Z 2016, so it will be interesting to look at, and I'm sure a lot of Pokemon fans will wonder when he's going to be coming out in the video games, like when he will be introduced there. Well, it's not too long ago that Hoopa has been distributed in the U.S. through, I don't think they've been distributed in like everywhere, but like they've been distributed through McDonald's, but they did confirm that Volcanion will be released sometime in 2016 somewhere. But we're gonna see their true powers about what is the ultimate form of Zygarde and the true capabilities of Volcanion when Pokemon the Movie XY and Z 2016 will be released on July 16th, 2016 in Japan. And finally, we shall now end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. Now, originally, I thought about having the National Film Registry thing to be my Pick of the Week, but then suddenly, this news came out of nowhere, and I honestly, I cannot ignore it. It's just so stupid, I really need to talk about this. Now, apparently, this is regarding a poll that was done in a more political matter. This is for GOP supporters. This is for, the Republicans. They had to go and make their vote. So, they have to answer questions regarding, who they want to vote. What do they think of this? What do they think of school? What do they think of religion? And all that kind of stuff. Now, but then came a weird answer, which I don't know, the people who made this poll, I don't know if they want to troll the Republicans, but apparently they got some very, very interesting results. And they decided to ask the question, would you support or oppose bombing Agrabah? And when they mean Agrabah, they mean the city from Aladdin. And the result that they got, oh boy, this was a bit unexpected. So apparently, when they asked the question, would you support or oppose bombing Agrabah? Now, the supporters, they got 30% yes, and then you got 13% of people who said no, and then a staggering 57% of people saying that they're not sure. Now, this honestly amazes me. Now, the fact that they got 30% of people, 30%, that's almost a third of Republicans immediately saying yes to bomb the city where Agrabah is. That just perplexes me. And it really shows, like, in a way, it kind of shows the uneducation of most Republicans. I'm not going to say all Republicans, because I'm sure there are some educated Republicans, maybe like some actual smart Republicans who know that Donald Trump should not be president. So I'm not going to say all, but like a lot, like some Republicans are really stupid, are really scared of terrorism, and like they're scared of like terrorists and how they're portrayed as Muslims and Arabs, like just going around screaming Allahu Akbar and then boom and all that kind of stuff, to the point that I don't know, it sounds like a terrorist city. Well, let's go blow it up. And like, but what I'm wondering, what are the 50% of people thinking? Like the 50% of people saying that they're not sure. What the fridge are you what the fridge are you saying not sure? Like, okay, I know that like they know very well that the main enemy is ISIS. They're the terrorists. They're in the Middle East. But like what are you not sure of? Are you trying to, like, do you want to find out if some terrorists are actually in Agrabah? Like, do you want to research if Jafar is a terrorist? Do you want to double check if Iago is a suicide bomber? Like, if you're gonna go out and hear Gilbert Gottfried sing Allahu Akbar, I still make more money. I wish Jafar would be here instead of me. I don't know why I have to go and explode. Like, what are you thinking? For God's sakes. Well, like, it just makes no sense. And honestly, yeah, as I said before, and it even says here, I'm taking this from a BuzzFeed article, but I know this is BuzzFeed, but trust me, there are a lot of articles that are going down. This is like a legit thing. This is from the people who did the poll is actually from Public Policy Polling. And it says here, but given the way that the voters who want to take on Agrabah's lean, a President Trump could see us. A President Trump could see us in a whole new world of pain. And they said, and apparently the poll says Trump is at 45% with Republicans who want to bomb Aladdin, and only 22% of the ones who don't want to bomb Aladdin. So I think that's like people who want to support Trump or something. But yeah, that's almost half the people. It's like, is this Trump supporters? Like, I'm not going to go 100% on this, but like, is this like Trump's are they trying to say like 45% of Trump supporters want to go and bomb Agrabah? They want to explode Aladdin. Aladdin is a terrorist. That's the best way. My God. And it amazes me. Trump supporters really do fascinate me with their stupidity. For what, like, 1 minute you think they're the stupidest things on earth, and then they pull off something that is incredibly stupid that you would never guess. But wow. Like, why would you bomb Agrabah? Really? Like, what's next? Like, oh my God, like, I can imagine some angry fanboys, they want to get inspired by this, and they want to bomb Arendelle because they don't want to hear Let It Go anymore. Like, I could so imagine the Frozen haters do that, that they want to make a petition to bomb Arendelle. Like, if they're going to bomb Agrabah, let's go bomb Arendelle. What the fridge is this? Like, why? Why? It's just, my God. This is why I'm Canadian. To avoid all this stupidity. This is, like, you see, we're smart people. We vote, like, at least now we got Justin Trudeau, and we know he's going to be chillax with the government. So, well, at least much more chillax than Harper. So, oh my God, this is just, what the fridge, America? Seriously, what the fridge? And that's all I've got for this week, so thank you for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. And if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, could you go and rate and review this episode? That would be very nice. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then go and hit that like button and leave us a comment on your thoughts on the news this week, and if you would like to explode Agrabah. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes. We're gonna go off with a bag like Agrabah.